This is CliffCentral.com.
This is the Leadership in Education show. Last half hour of Leadership in Transformation Platform. Yeah. Leadership Transformation Platform. And it's been a fascinating show. We kicked off with 12 to 1. Anyone, any principal, any education leader can go and listen to this. This is fascinating. We spoke to a man who was paralyzed, but yet he's going to do the Dakar rally next year. And it's just incredible how he overcame resistance, and that's exactly what leaders need. Then we had Business Masterclass, spoke about insurance that small business owners should look at. And of course, we spoke to Antos, someone from a very modern business who distributes content across the continent. But the last half hour before the education show was all about transformation. And we spoke about the world in the next few years, how everything is dramatically changing, and it will change dramatically. So that was a conversation that I want to attach to today's. I mean, if industries are dying and I don't know, rising up within blink of an eye, and if everything is going to be impacted by the phone, how does this impact education? And are we doing a good job in our country to prepare our kids for this future? Or are they being prepared despite our education system? I don't know. I think we're all trying, but man, we have to try harder. In the studio, as always, Barbara Dale-Jones. Hi, Barbara, from Bridge Project.
Hi, Adrian.
It's good to have you with us. And then we have someone who's been here before, Dr. Daya Chetty, SAPA Gauteng, President and Principal of Laudium Secondary School. Welcome, Daya.
Thanks, Adrian. Good to be back.
Good to have you with us. And Louis Groenewald, the old man. I'm Adrian Groenewald, Leadership and Education. Can we talk about anything more important? I don't think so. Barbara, you're saying not much on the education front you want to mention. There was this issue right now that's popped up. Who announced it? Tell us the background, the context of this.
Well, the DBE has given an indication that the public has 21 days to comment on a policy that's going to be passed through Parliament that says that learners who are progressed learners, in other words, they've failed grade 10 or grade 11 and they've been pushed through as part of the progression policy, that when they get into grade 12, they'll have the opportunity to write matric over 2 years. So this is obviously something that bears a little bit of thinking about. What are the repercussions and implications there, and is this giving an unfair advantage to these learners to get two bites at the cherry, I suppose? We've got very little time as the public to engage with it, 21 days from today.
But let's look at the motivation behind it. We don't necessarily all understand what you call the progression policy. Mm. What is that again? It's people who just can't pass and they've put them through.
Progression policy got a lot of coverage in the media at the beginning of this year when the matric results came out, because this was the first that we had progressed learners doing matric. Mm. And it accounted for some statistical shifts that happened at matric mark time. But the progression policy is really a general policy across the system where a learner cannot fail more than once in a phase, and there's 3 years per phase. There's four phases, in other words, that take place over the 12 years that a learner goes through schooling, and they can't fail more than once in a phase. Mm. So now in this final FET phase, the grades 10, 11, and 12, what it sounds to me the department is saying, and Di, you can comment on this, is that if they're getting progressed from grade 11 to grade 12, in order to help them cope with the challenges of matric, they're going to be able to write their papers over 2 years rather than just one.
So they can take some of the subjects this year, some next year. Before we go into just a little bit about SAPA, so that people understand what you're doing there, Daya, and then also your recent conference, Bafundisa conference. Just your view on this specific breaking news, shall we say?
Yeah, thanks, Adrian. Barbara, yeah, you captured it pretty well. I think we already piloted this last year, and so there's been a cohort of learners who've gone through this repeating matric or writing it a second time. I found personally it works pretty well with those learners who can't cope with writing seven subjects in 1 year. So the success rate of more learners getting through matric seems to increase, and I think
that's the motivation. Eh? We want more to pass matric.
So the objective of the DBE is that we don't want dropouts. We don't want learners who do not make matric finally deciding, well, I'm throwing in the towel. I look for a job. Hopefully, I'll get one, or just basically become part of the unemployed. So I think, I think it's got lots of merit in it, but one needs to also observe whether in the long term this can be sustained, because obviously once you create this, it's becoming hopefully going to be an act, And once it's an act, it means that budgets need to be placed in context within the ministry. And that's going to be more taxpayers' money being used for another purpose, whether that communities and the citizens of the country will applaud this. I might see a lot of countering to this.
Yeah, as you say, you just dropped this on us now, and it needs some thinking. Sure. Maybe some conversations around it, some more conversations. Maybe we can talk to people who have tried it.
Yep.
But it needs a lot of thinking. The motive might be good, but is it the right way?
Di, at this stage, is the idea that the second year, they still remain at school?
Yeah, well, what happened is, no, they don't remain at school. So they will not attend for the next 6 months. So what will happen is this year, those learners will write their matric with all other learners at the same time. But they'll only write the elected subjects that they've chosen with their parents, which is 4 subjects out of the 7. And then they'll write in June next year. So last year's group, who wrote 4 subjects, will write 3 now this June. And of course, we'll give them a completed matric certificate. But they will not attend school. So what we've done at our school, not that it's a regulated thing, we've allowed some of our learners to attend certain classes where they've not written those subjects or needed support, but more on an ad hoc basis rather than as a norm. So I think it's an interesting question that needs to be placed to the ministry about attending school for the remaining 6 months, which is another impact in terms of school budgets, in terms of resources, right, and so on.
A lot of repercussions there.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, principals and those in the education industry, leaders, will be interested in your conference. Before we go to the Bafundisa conference you had recently, and then something about Edu 365. We'll look at all that, make sense of it. Just very quickly, SAPA Gauteng, South African Principal Association. Tell people about it very quickly.
Thanks.
It's for principals who may be listening, yeah?
Yeah, South African Principals Association is a national organization, Gauteng being one of the 9 provinces. We believe we're a very growing province. One of the aspects around a professional association, unlike unions, is that we need to create what we call a leadership network, an organization which provides an opportunity for principals to share with each other experiences, to be able to get mentors, especially new principals being appointed. And so we're looking at it as a learning community of principals who can actually work together, who can twin, who can share different types of challenges, at the same time find solutions collectively. And so out of SAPA, through our various breakfast conferences and even through our model of meeting with the ministry, which we meet 3 times a year, we have this opportunity to be able to take challenges of principals and also solutions to the Department of Basic Education in terms of what principals experience on a daily basis, but also to take to them some of the progressive issues that we see as a principals organization.
And on top of that, you're the principal of Lord M Senior Secondary School, balancing those two, right?
Absolutely.
A bit of family on the side and a bit of staying fit and the normal busy lifestyle.
Well, I can add one, running the Comrades in it as well. So.
Did you?
I didn't run this year, but I've done the Comrades done 11 times. I think this gives me more opportunity to train again.
I mean, you've got lots of time on your hand. We must involve you in some other project. So Dr. Daya Chedi, I mean, I think it's good for you to lead an organization that supports and strengthens the leadership capability of principals, and then you're one yourself. It's a bit like being a principal in a school, but you're still teaching class.
Absolutely.
Isn't
Absolutely.
It? It's just on another level, but it's the same principle, and it keeps you connected with real issues, and you can speak with authenticity to the principals. But this conference, the Bafundisa Conference 2016, looks like there was a lot of leadership talk there, and even your talk itself touched on leadership. Tell us what this was, why you did it, and then let's get some takeaways from it.
Adrian, this conference was one of a different. Normal conferences we've held in the past were more motivational speakers coming on just to pep up the principal a little bit, make them feel good about the job they're doing, give them some leadership skills so that they could go back on a Monday and say, okay, I'm now on a high. I think I'm going to take on the challenge.
More energy to go. Yeah.
Absolutely, until Tuesday arrives and then he's back into a lull. Monday afternoon. We believe that principals are yearning out there for more skills development, to get people to come in and show them some of the stuff more practically. And so this year's conference, the Bafundisa conference, focused on skills development sessions, where we had breakaway sessions where a principal could select and say, I think I need more support and knowledge on finances, so I'll go to the finance breakaway. Another principal would say, you know, we're at examinations, but I have a diagnostic tool. I don't know really how to analyze that. So part of my brief in one of my breakaway sessions was to do what we call diagnostic analysis tools in a practical sense. And for those people who are listening who might not understand what diagnostic tools are, it's basically when learners write a test, the marks are captured by teachers. Those marks are factored onto a rating scale from 1 to 7. That is easy to do. My basis is about the principal then having knowledge of what we call basic action research of quantitative analysis, being able to take the data and being able to use the data, analyze it, and then say, so where is my school and what do I have to do in order to remediate, to be able to find learners who are at risk, and what is our plan of action in terms of a school development plan.
That was the one workshop that you did.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I believe that it's a startup on a workshop. I think there's more to be done on what I've started. My belief is that data in schools are not being used sufficiently to inform schools about where they are at the current stage in terms of their schooling. Yeah.
So you had lots of workshops, and the theme was learn, teach, and lead. Learn, teach, and lead. And the outcomes on those, did you have outcomes on each of those categories in essence?
Well, broadly speaking, yes. We find that a principal needs to understand that we're lifelong learners at the same time.
As a principal.
Absolutely. Yeah. We need to understand that what we learn, we need to impart to someone else. And then we also need to understand that what then gives us that scope of being great leaders within our school. Okay. That means we want to understand that, yes, you can have managers in schools, but what entails to be a good leader? And so out of this conversation, the three leadership aspects that were dealt with by various speakers, and I mean to cite some of them, we're looking at Bali Silakani, for example, who brought a different dimension using the corporate issues and showing that in terms of school leadership and how that can be brought in.
Okay.
The other one we looked at was looking at the MEC himself. The MEC speaking about why we need more inspirational leaders who can factor in a different change in a school rather than the orthodox approach to running a school. And that's what makes the MEC in Gauteng so special, is that he's an out-of-the-box thinker.
He steps on toes in the process, and he probably ruffles some feathers, but that's what you need. You cannot continue doing the same things over and over again. So I like this learn, teach, and lead. Lead we talk about a lot. If I just take the last half hour before you guys came into the studio, we took the writings of a certain individual where he predicts the next 5-10 years and where the world is going. And at the right at the end, it does say, let me just get here. I don't think I have it here. Let me see if I do. Right at the end, he looks at, I think I've exited that specific document, but it just mentions that by 2020, 70% people on this planet will have smartphones. That includes kids more than ever before. Dangerous thing, but powerful. Mm-hmm. So how does that impact education? So if I'm a principal, I have to learn continually, not just about the maths class which I give to stay in contact with teaching, or the English class that I'm giving. I have to find a way to understand the world. I have to find a way to understand technology, where it's taking us. What are our kids dealing with now? I have to think, be futuristic. I have to think where the world is going. I have to be ever learning, because that'll prepare me to be a better teacher and a better leader for those students that must go and conquer this crazy world we live in.
So to add on that, the 21st century child, how do we deal with it? But versus that, the use of technology in schools and the responsible mechanism of technology in schools, the various other aspects of control of technology in schools. So I think the MEC's direction of becoming a technocratic nation within a province and being able to have our learners to be up to date with what's the latest technology is a brilliant aspect. I think our teachers need to start off first getting in on par with learners. So using smart boards in schools and so forth brings a new dimension to the modern child, where those children are used to looking at cell phones. Now teachers are absolutely able to press a button in the classroom and say, what I just explained to you now, there's a YouTube video, watch it, get experiential learning out of it. We need more of that, because I think we're becoming redundant to a great extent as teachers within the classroom if we go with the same knowledge the textbook can tell a child. We need to enhance that knowledge, and therefore for us, through this conference aspects, is to get principals rather to get on up to standard with each other rather than dropping the standard. So we're saying where other principals are at high-performing schools, we need to get those principals who are at schools where they're a bit lagging behind. What can they learn from those leaders to be able to inspire their learners differently? Mm. Yes, it's about money. It's about financial resources. But we believe that it's one step at a time. Mm. I take the school I'm at. I only have one room that's fully fitted with a electronic board, with your digital projectors, with surround sound speakers. But that's the beginning.
Mm.
Every year, develop one more classroom like that, and eventually you'll have your old school. So I think it's an important aspect of it. And I must add, Barbara Dale Jones and the Bridge partnership is great, developing with SAPA, that we had Bridge also there. Sibongile Kumalo from Bridge came and presented what Bridge does in terms of setting up their corps, which is a good thing, in terms of getting partnership with schools and getting schools to band and network together. So I think that this conference has established a whole new networking of the GDE, the Association of Principals, together with Bridge as partner, even Symphonia is another group which works very closely with us, Louise von Rhein. And so I think these are the possibilities that we need to create outside what government's doing.
We have to somehow leapfrog via technology and where the world is going, leapfrog our challenges.
Yep.
And I see we're trying the technology route, for example, because that is what's leapfrogging everything. But then we do run into our local challenges, don't we?
Absolutely.
Very practical challenges. And then maybe, Barbara, you can also come in here when you ran this conference, learn, teach, and lead. What did you do on the leadership side? I know technically you are skills development, but on the leadership side, what came to the fore there?
So, look, I think in terms of different speakers, we got a dimension from speakers from different spheres of business, education, and otherwise. So when you look at your combination of speakers, for example, having a person like Yusuf Abramji there, the purpose of Yusuf Abramji from a leadership point of view was to bring in the support of what societal problems schools are going through. How does Lead South Africa come into play? How does issues of drugs and so on, in some cases in schools, keep schools behind in terms of quality education? Then we get a speaker coming in and talking about champions for South Africa. And a very interesting concept that I never ever thought about is the question, did we ever see a World Cup of Nations yet? That means the whole world in any code of sport. We haven't yet seen that.
Mm.
Are we preparing our next generation of leaders for that next World Cup that will include every nation? So if you have a Rugby World Cup, when will we see every country playing in that World Cup or at least competing to qualify for that World Cup?
Did you have Ashraf Garda there?
We had Ashraf Garda there. So you know.
Yeah. Talking about his champions principle.
Yes. So my belief is
you're getting very outside speakers so that leaders can have broader context, perspective about what's happening out there and the impact on them and on their leadership role. I think that's important. As a leader, leaders must think current.
Mm.
So we've got to get our leaders to be exceptionally current because the world is happening current. The world is happening now. So if we get leaders to think past, or to run leadership programs and courses that were developed 3, 4, 5, 10 years ago, we're in trouble.
Absolutely.
They've got to be in the current world, current environment, current leaders, current conversations.
Sure.
It's all got to be very current. You spoke about managing curriculum delivery and effective diagnostic tools, as you said, and then you referred this to Edu 365.
Mm.
Just elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, look, the Edu 365 was to actually partner with me in my presentation to bring to the principals the electronic way of actually downloading lessons for teachers in the classroom. So while I was speaking about more the assessment issues after teaching, Edu 360 brought in the electronic digital lessons that were available on the platform.
Mm.
So which they made available to all the principals to take back to school to show them, for example, how can you show your teachers to research on specific topics? So if you're doing water, what about water? How do you go intensively into it? And how do you download lesson content information which is reliable, which is valid, and which is current, so that you're not using a textbook that was written 5 years ago and don't have up-to-date information?
Mm.
So I think that is where we should be going to in terms of curriculum within the classroom. The teacher should be teaching relevant information, which is today, now, and for example, today being World Environment Day. The focus in a teacher's classroom today would be telling children about picking up of papers. That's the mundane thing you talk about. My view is that, do we go into extensive recycling within schools? How does it contribute to the economy? How does it contribute towards, for example, changing our environment? Mm. What about the United Nations? What are they saying about it? How do we bring world groups into the participation?
Bigger picture, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. So for me, I think we need to start understanding that in order to get all schools and all learners to be on par with current trends and current education, all teachers, whether you're in a township school, a rural school, a suburban school, or doesn't matter where your school is, the teachers need to be on par and up to date with the information.
Barbara?
What's really nice is that SAPA were very determined about getting support for learners, for principals who come from schools that didn't have the resources to send principals along. So there was a lot of really inclusive drive here to make sure that all principals could be part of this conference and be sponsored to be part of the conference. I like the idea that there's a combination here of strong links with the DBE and skills development and also a learning network, and that communities of practice are a commitment going forward for SAPA, because I think, you know, it's very exciting, but it's also very daunting for principals in this current landscape. They've, you know, I can imagine principals hearing about the kinds of technologies that they're required to understand, that the curriculum that they're supposed to lead, etc. It must feel very daunting in an ever-changing landscape. So it's great that there's a leadership network that you've developed that's there to support peers. Peers work together and peers learn together.
So if I might just add on that, Adrian, I think an interesting thing that Barbara brought about was the conversation that we're currently involved with at DBE regarding leadership and around what we've done is, and perhaps we need to continue this conversation. We've just now developed in partnership with various other stakeholders, including Bridge in the conversation, is that a principal is never prepared to take on their position in the school in the current situation.
Yeah.
You apply for the post, you get the post, you land up there on Monday, you expect to do the job. What we've put as a proposal now is 11 module basis of training and coaching a principal in that 1 year of probation is to skill the principal with that position you're in, which we're calling a mentorship, induction and twinning program, which is so-called enhancing the principal's capacity within the school. And so our belief is that that is a conversation we need to continue moving forward with, purely because our reasoning is that too many principals are getting into the fold and then finding they cannot do the job. And what happens is it's almost like a patch-up job. You fill this gap, that gap opens. You fill that gap, some other gap.
You never catch up. I mean,
absolutely. Mm. So we believe that that's going to be another important dimension of SAPA, and that's currently our conversation with the Department of Basic Education and other stakeholders.
All right, we've got to find out more about that. Louis, final comments?
Just one comment, Daya. Obviously, you guys are passionate about doing all you can to support good leaders. Can I just mention one point? I'm sure you don't lose contact with it, because sometimes the more we do thank people, sometimes the less they take responsibility for something. Why I mention this? We've had school principals here in impoverished communities that performed tremendously with their passion. But one thing, the one principal was saying here, I think, Bobby, you brought him out here, was saying, and we had these Patrick pupils here, 8, 7, and 6 distinctions, for instance, three of the girls here.
Mm. I think it was Unity High from
Davidson,
perhaps.
Don't accept the fact, the excuse, that we can't do it because we don't have support from our parents, etc. Now, what I'm saying that is, this ability to not accept any kind of resistances or problems. That's why we had this big show today too. It's so crucial to good leadership. So somehow it's inspired people. We do all we can, but people understand you are responsible for your future. I'm just saying, I'm sure you guys press that. So we don't look at too many excuses not to perform.
Louis, absolutely. You knocked the nail on the head. What we're saying is that we need a major attitude change in terms of leaders.
It's a mindset. Yeah.
And it's a mindset change. And therefore, maybe in terms of the conference as well, Adrian and Louis, was opening of the conference when I mentioned the statement from a quotation from Dr. Martin Luther King, which is written in the book by Robin Sharma, a leader who had no title.
No title, yeah.
That was very important when he says, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets as Michelangelo painted or Beethoven composed music and Shakespeare poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great sweeper who did his job well.
Let's end with that. That is just so beautiful. It's like he turned that statement into an artistic statement, didn't he? I mean, it's just a brilliant statement. Thank you so much, Dr. Daya Chetty of SAPA, for joining us today, and Barbara Dale Jones of Bridge. and Louis Groenewald. Look forward to being with you next week again, talking education. We've got to lift our game on this show continually to somehow empower, add value to principals all the time in this crazy world. And you guys always bring great guests, but let's keep lifting it. You know, we've got to keep lifting our game because they have to lift their game. And all the leaders in this world have to lift their game because the world is just moving faster and faster. And thank you for all your fantastic contributions. Look forward to being with you next week. Go out there and lead. Great movement. Great being with you.
This is CliffCentral.com.